A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to Shebna, master of the palace, I will thrust you from your office and pull you down from your station. On that day I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and gird him with your sash and give over to him your authority. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. I will fix him like a peg in a sure spot to be a place of honor for his family. The word of the Lord.
Is eternal. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Lord, your love is eternal. Do not forsake the work of your hands. I thank you, Lord, with all my heart. You have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I praise you. I bow down toward your holy temple. Lord, your love is eternal. Do not forsake the work of your hands. I give thanks to your name for your merciful love and your faithfulness. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased the strength of my soul. Lord, your love is eternal. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The Lord is high, yet he looks on the lowly, and the haughty he knows from afar. O Lord, your merciful love is eternal. Discard not the work of your hands. Lord, your love is eternal. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How inscrutable are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given the Lord anything that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. 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 You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. As we gather this Sunday to be renewed with the gift of our Savior's very self, we are invited to reflect on and give thanks to the Lord for the gift of our faith and for the gift of our place in the church of God, the family of God. Our faith, as much as it is something that we profess to God and something that we bring before Him and offer to Him in a way, is first and foremost His gift to us. It is He who has revealed Himself to us, He who has spoken to us, chosen to come to meet us. It is God who always takes the first step in our relationship with Him. And therefore, even as much as we might look over our life and the different ways that we have consecrated ourselves to Him, striven to find Him and to speak with Him in prayer, to dwell with Him, we always must recall that it is He first who has helped us to understand Him and to know Him and to love Him. We celebrate that in Peter's very profession of faith today, that it is not what others have said that has helped us to understand that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of the Father, the Son of God. It is the Father Himself who has led him to know this. And as much as Peter's profession of faith today is an important foundation, it's not the beginning. The love of the Father is the beginning of Peter's life and his place in the church. And that place in the church we celebrate especially with the image of what Peter's nickname reminds us and what our Lord says to him, with the image of a rock, a foundation, calling to mind that around Peter and upon him, the Lord wished to build his church. The Lord wished for Peter, once he would ascend to heaven, to continue to be among the faithful still living in this world, the place of unity. Remembering always that Christ is the ultimate place of our unity, but he has chosen to leave us, first in Peter, now in our Pope, the successor of Peter, the one around whom all of the faithful, the members of the Church of Christ, have gathered, to whom they look. Peter's name itself, of course, calls this to mind, but there's a little bit of attention introduced with his name. His name is not itself rock. If you would give me a second just to talk about language, one of my favorite things. We look at the name of Peter a little bit like he's been given the name in our modern English, American, you know, language. He's given the name Rocky. Because if we look at the Greek that our gospel today is written in, his name is Petros. And the word for rock is Petra. So very close. Certainly his name comes from rock. But his name is not itself rock. Even if we look at the name that's recorded elsewhere, the Aramaic that they were speaking, Cephas or Kephas. Kepha being the word for rock. I mention these just to keep in mind that we're called to always look a little bit beyond Peter himself, to remember that it is Christ himself who is the foundation of our faith. And maybe even, like some of the great teachers of our faith, have invited us to consider that our Lord even invites us to consider something beyond just that Peter is the rock as the only understanding of the reading that we've heard today in this beautiful gospel. One of those great teachers, St. Augustine, whose feast day we're going to be celebrating this coming Friday, he, in one of his later homilies on this gospel, he says to his faithful, "You have heard me say before that Christ speaks of the rock upon which the church is to be built as Peter himself. I say to you today that when Christ speaks of, upon this rock I will build my church, he refers to Peter's profession, to the faith that Peter has just proclaimed as the foundation upon which he wishes to build his church." And much in the ways of Christ after some of his parables, St. Augustine then says, you know, let us reflect on these meanings. Let us bring them both together. Let us recognize that, yes, our church is built upon the unity expressed in our leader, the Bishop of Rome, who is our Pope. But most of all, our church is built upon the faith that defines his life, the faith that defined the life of Peter, that led him to become the first among those apostles, that would always be not just him to whom they looked, but him as a faithful follower of Christ, that would allow him to be the rock upon which the church would be built. And that image of a rock, calls to mind some important feelings for us, feelings of safety and security, of being established. We remember the words of St. Paul elsewhere in the New Testament, where he speaks about the church being built upon Christ, the cornerstone, then the other apostles, evangelists, and prophets, and then all of us being built up as living stones around that foundation. But even in that word, an important designation, living stones. And Christ today, speaking not just of a church that is well established and waiting for the world to come find her, waiting for all those who need the power that Peter has been given to come enter the church. And it's an important power that Peter is given today with the image of those keys to bind and to loose, the fulfillment of the prophecy that we've heard in that first reading. Both of those readings, that prophecy and then Christ's gift to Peter, power that seems beyond a person, power that would be presumptuous for a person to just claim on their own, but a power given by God to Eliakim in the time of Isaiah the prophet, given by God in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to Peter during his life on this earth, a power to bind and to loose, especially, the church understands, from sin, not a power to free those that he likes and to bind those who he doesn't, not a power to hold grudges and to show spite to those who have wronged him, but a power to be able to recognize in the life of someone who claims to follow Christ, someone who has truly experienced conversion, and when that conversion has been embraced, to be able to call it out and to say, you are freed from your sin, both for the sake of that person and the doubts they might have, and for the sake of those who haven't yet turned their life over completely to Christ, those who claim to be following Christ but are showing something that is contrary to the gospel in their decisions, in their life. The power that Peter is given is the one to not just condemn them, but to help them to see you are not yet at a place to be freed from this sin. You have not yet striven to allow Christ to be your light and to guide you. In that sense, Peter, the apostles, the bishops who follow him, and the priests who are given to share in that power too in the sacrament of holy confession are called to lead the faithful to see and to do what is necessary in order to allow that freedom to be something they can receive from God. But once again, not just by waiting for them, not just as a fortress established as a rock and stable in place. What does Christ say today about the church that will be built upon that rock? The gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. This is a beautiful image of the church going forth. Not just the church going forth to meet others and make a nice invitation, but a church going forth into places of darkness, a church going forth to the places where it seems the powers that are working against God and his gospel have domain. To the gates of the netherworld you shall go, and those gates shall not prevail against the force of the church. We as living stones are called to embrace both the way that we become a stone in the church with Peter, not through our own strength, through our own choice, but through the way that we humbly receive from God who he has shown himself to be for us, the way we humbly receive the life that he sets before us and strive to walk in that way, not because we can know it, but because he has shown it to us. And by that profession of faith, we find our place in the church. And all of us, like Peter, are called to be not just people who others might come one day to seek out because they know that we are firmly established in the church, but people who, being firmly rooted in that place and in that body, in that communion, are now willing to go forth with confidence to the places where we might rather not go, the places where we see that the forces of evil are working, because it is there that God wants his church to be, to show her power, which is the power of Christ living in her. When we stay close to the church in communion, when we always strive to be faithful, when we strive to be trusting sons and daughters of those who are given the task of leading us today, we have greater reason for confidence, because by knowing that we are closely united to that church in all the ways that God calls us to be, we know that we can therefore be the ones to fulfill this beautiful vision of the church, that we are the places where that church living and embraced is going to be successful in that mission. We have this week an invitation to be entering into this dynamic of trust with our bishop. You've heard about the plans that were announced last weekend that he has. He's open to hear our thoughts on these plans for the community of the faithful in this city. And I'd just like to add my words of encouragement to everyone to attend this meeting on Thursday. We live in this time where the church, the invitation especially of our recently deceased Holy Father, Pope Francis, to live in a time of synodality, of walking together, recognizing the responsibility of those who must make the decisions for the life of our church, but also a time characterized by an openness to hear from the faithful, from all the members of the church, so that those who are tasked with leading can make the most informed decision. I ask if you're able to come this Thursday to bring your feedback, and also, whether you come to the meeting or not, to bring to this experience your trust and your prayers for our shepherd, that he can lead us, lead all the faithful in this city to what is best for the kingdom of God, for its glory, and for the mission of that church in our time. As we are today brought into a deeper communion with our Savior, let us be very grateful for the ways that through many people in our lives, he has brought the faith to us, that we never presume to say that, Lord, because of who I am, then I must be someone great in the mission of the church, but rather to understand that he has chosen us in spite of our weaknesses and for his own glory to have an important mission. And for that reason, we should always seek it. We should always be open to be going to those places where he wishes to send us and to always try to be rooted in the confidence of the communion that springs from him, but it is lived out in his body, the church.